Well, thank the Lord to be here this morning. And thankful for that psalm. Thankful that he is still God and he still reigns on his throne. Let's bow our heads for just a moment. Dear God, as we open your word, we are so thankful for the way that you feed us. And we're asking you again today by your spirit to just feed our souls, to strengthen us and encourage us that we might love you more and serve you better. God, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we have a song in our songbook, number 245, that's called Consecration. And I want to talk a little bit about this morning. To consecrate means to make or declare sacred, to set apart, to dedicate or devote to the service and worship of God. And I'm thinking particularly this morning, and I don't mean that there's not specific things that come along in life that we have to pray for to what we would call consecrate to God. But I want to talk this morning to what we're really doing in that moment, hopefully, is maintaining our consecration to God. As we face a new challenge in life, we're saying, Lord, I'm still on the altar to you, yes, even in this matter. And so I'm talking about consecration in the sense of the fact that the Lord's not looking for your house to be holy to him necessarily. He's not looking for your car to be holy to him, or your place, or your possessions, or your family. He's looking for you to be holy, dedicated to him. You are the temple that he desires to take up residence in. Yes. You are who he's looking to be consecrated to. So as we speak about this morning, it's more to the nature of all of us consecrating ourselves to the Lord, making ourselves available to him. To make sacred means to reserve for the Lord, all right, to set it apart. And so then it covers all parts of our lives. And as we face situations, we recognize, Lord, if I'm going to be consecrated to you, then this thing has to be given to you in this situation. And so that's the respect in which we want to think about consecration this morning. The first verse of this song, Consecration, says, since, all right, so right off it says, all right, we're not talking about something that there's no justification for doing in our life. There's no reason why we would do this. But since Jesus gave his life for me, this morning as I worshiped the Lord, I am who I am. I'm a man. I was a boy. I grew up. I became a man. The Lord didn't pick me to be the Savior of the world. And that's not, if you understand what I'm saying. I'm not someone who God needs. I'm someone who needs God. All right? I need this in my life. I need the Lord to have given his life for me, because without it, I would be lost. And with the Lord giving his life for me, I'm still not enough in myself to be everything I need to be what I'm supposed to be. I can't be that unless I'm willing to consecrate who I am to the Lord. Yes. And in everything that, when I come to realizations like that in my life, I've never accomplished victory through me and through who I am. I've only been able to accomplish victory by consecrating who I am to the Lord, so the Lord can get that thing out of the way in my life and let him manifest himself through me. So since Jesus gave his life for me, should I not give him mine? Does it not make sense this morning? You know what I just related to you? I took it very personally. I spoke directly from me, from who I am. But I spoke to you about the state of all of us this morning, about the state of the whole human race. All right? There's not somebody that's going to escape damnation, destruction, failure in their life. Because make no mistake, to gain the whole world but lose your soul is a failure.
Yes.
And there's nothing in the world that I'm going to be able to say, but I was a success. To gain the whole world and lose my soul is failure this morning. So there's no way that anyone in this world is going to be successful without the Lord.
Amen.
Without the Lord and without taking the steps necessary, having the heart to consecrate themselves fully to who God is and to His will in their life and to the things that He's trying to teach them, to the places He's trying to take them and the places He's trying to not take them in life. There's nobody who's going to be successful by ignoring those things this morning. If I choose to ignore the Lord, to ignore what He's telling me right now about myself, because God's telling me things about myself. He had to stop telling me things about myself. He may say, well, I was saying it this way one day, but I feel very clearly God is saying stuff to me about myself. He's telling me, like we said in Sunday school, Brandon, you're not meekness. Brandon, you're not temperance. Brandon, you're not patience. You're not those things. Only the Lord is those things. And only through consecrating my life to Him can I be any of those things, much less saved. Can I have any of those things working in my life any other way? It's not possible to have them grow and conquer who I am. Now, I can have something that I call patience. And I can have something I call temperance. I can even have something I call salvation. But it's going to fall short if it's not into my life through me laying down my life, through me consecrating myself to the Lord and allowing Him to bring those things into my life. I don't want my salvation this morning because it's not going to last and it's not going to make it. I want the salvation the Lord offers. I don't want my patience this morning. I want the patience the Lord offers. I don't want any of, I could name off thing after thing that God's put His finger on in my life. And I will tell you, I don't want mine because it's insufficient. It doesn't meet the need in any way. I want what the Lord has to offer, ultimately, because that's the only place I find salvation. True salvation is in the Lord. All right? So I want what He is offering to me this morning, and it's what the whole creation of man needs. I'm not some weird person that I'm the only one with this need. We all sit here this morning with this same exact need in our life, from the youngest to the oldest here. We all need this. The whole world needs this morning. So there's nothing that makes more sense in the world than to say, since Jesus gave His life for me, should I not give Him mine? It doesn't make sense to not say yes to that. This is the only thing offered to us that brings true success in our life. Is there not ultimate success? That the end of all things is blessing. That's what we're talking about this morning. The road is marked with suffering. The road is marked with all kinds of things that the Lord brings us through for the purpose of bringing blessing and success into our life. Every one of those things, if I come across them and laying my life down to the Lord, giving back to Him what He gave to me, if that's how I come across those things in my life, then they are only working for my good. But this is the only place that I have that promise, that I don't have it any other way. So since Jesus gave His life for me, should I not give Him mine? I'm consecrated, Lord, to Thee. I shall be wholly Thine. See, this is why I said what I was saying about consecration at the first, about not being about just the things. We can get in such a place where we're just looking at things as they come along in our life. And you know what? If that's how we're seeing it, then I'm afraid that we're going to, even in the good intentions of our heart, we're going to have struggles. If we don't see this as something where I'll put myself completely on the altar, and then as I face things, I say, yeah, I want that on the altar too, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord, I want that on the altar too. But it can't be me standing back here and going, oh, yeah, here, have that. Oh, yeah, here, have that. That doesn't work. It doesn't work that way. That's bondage. Amen. That's bondage because you're losing things and you're not getting anything for it. You can't until you are holy on the altar. And all I mean by that is, you're like, Lord, my whole life, whatever you want to do, I want you to have control of my life. I want to learn how to please you. I want to learn how to do things your way. Amen. Not going to stand back and give you things, but Lord, I want to do it your way. I want to do and everything how you want me to, the way you would do it, Lord. That's how I want to do it. I want to rise and I want to rise and fall as you would have me to. I want to do all those things for the glory of God in my life. All right? So, you know, this was a principle that Christ actually established. There's a verse in John 8:29. I love looking, when I come across something in the Bible and I feel like God's speaking to my heart, I love to be able to go and see how Christ did that very thing. He did it to its fullness. That he's not asking me to do anything that he didn't come down here. This is why salvation is so wonderful. Because we talked about last week somewhere about the captain of our sufferings. How he made him as we were. He didn't just decide, well, he's going to be salvation. He's going to do all this, but he's not going to experience what you experience. Christ came down and lived it and laid down the example for us. So we know that he's not asking us to try to do things in the flesh that he didn't do, that he doesn't understand and doesn't know how to help us with. As it talks about in Hebrews there, he's able to secure those because he went through the same thing.
Yes.
And he faced it. He didn't just establish it. He lived it. All right. And so here in 8:29, it says, he that sent me is with me. He's speaking of the Father here. As he says, the Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. You know, the Lord, what does it say, that he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin? And you know, wow. If I'm just reading this verse, I'm like, well, Lord, you did it, but how's that going to happen in my life? He was tempted in all points as I was yet without sin, meaning sin, of course, means direct rebellion against God, but more in that word, it means to miss the mark. It's more than, you know, there's some things about it that I look at and I say, well, Lord, you expect me not to somehow miss the mark here in something, all right? You expect me not to do this. And don't misunderstand what I'm saying. God came to give us victory over sin. But the tall order that the Lord just established, all right, that he showed the example, I do always those things that please him. Well, it says, where it says that he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Does anybody know what it goes on to say after that? Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of God, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And we touched on this some. I think it might have been Sunday school. You know, it seems several things are just going together for me. Wherever it was we touched on. I know we touched on this recently, but I want to go back over it. That we might obtain mercy and find grace to help. The Lord has all the mercy you need. He wants you to recognize his desire for your life. And when you see somehow that you're like, Lord, you did it, but I'm struggling, then let us come boldly to the throne of grace and find mercy and grace to help in time of need. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord for that. And I think he didn't just say grace to help. He also said mercy. And he didn't just say mercy. He said grace to help. Thank the Lord that he has it all right there for us. If we realize the need to set our hearts to please him always. We don't have to even figure out if, well, Lord, did I really accomplish it this time? Did I really do it just like you wanted me to do it? And this, was I just as meek and just as temperate and just as patient and just in line with your word as I should have been? Lord, what I can say is, Lord, that's my desire. That's what I want to be. Lord, if in any way I wasn't, then help me to learn how to do that. This is called consecration.
Yes.
And you know what? It's not always that we're sitting there going, yes, 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 this is what I want to do. Sometimes it's like, Lord, I'm really struggling with my desire in this time, even to do this. But Lord, I know this is what you want, and I want to give my life to you. I want to even give them the struggles I have with my desire to do what you want me to do. I want to give that to you as well. That's part of consecration. Yes. God, we don't succeed in consecration because we get to this point where we're just like, everything and anything God wants me to do, I'm just excited to go do it. That's not... Consecration, what helps get us to that place.
Yes.
About many things in our life, but it takes consecration to get there. Sometimes we're sitting back waiting to feel that way, so then I can go and consecrate this thing to the Lord. We need to consecrate ourselves to God. And when our desire isn't matching up the way it needs to, we need to consecrate that to God.
Yes.
And take it to Him as well. You have the freedom to do all of that because of mercy. This morning, God's not going to sit there and say, well, you should want to do this. He's going to say, well, you come to me and I can help you. There's a sickness inside of you that struggles against this, and I can help you with that.
Yes.
That's what the Lord wants us to do. This is what consecration is. All right. And so Jesus laid down that example, that I do always those things that please Him. But it's also a principle that He laid on us. Matthew, the 16th chapter. Matthew 16, and we'll look down at the 24th verse. Then said Jesus unto His disciples, if any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. All right. Now, so the Lord just laid it on top of us as well. This thing that He was doing and seeking to please the Lord at all times in His life, He said, if you're going to come after Me, then this is what you're going to have to do as well. But do you know that the midst of Him saying this to us, what just happened was where Peter said, Jesus started talking to him, telling him how He was going to be, right there in the verses before that, how He would suffer many things of the elder and chief priests and scribes and be killed. This is what He was telling Peter, that he was fixing to go through to do what the Lord wanted him to. And Peter said, oh, be that far from you. And He turned to him and said, get thee behind Me, Satan. Peter didn't even realize what was going on right there, but Jesus knew that anything that interferes with the will of God is not of God in our life.
Amen.
Anything that interferes with me consecrating and following through on obeying the Lord, on taking His path in my life, it's not of God. More importantly, because we can feel like there's a neutral ground there, if it's not of God, then who is it of? It's of Satan. It's directly against what God is trying to do in our lives. We don't always recognize that for what it is. All right, we see it as just a choice of something that I'm just struggling with in my flesh maybe, and I just really want to do, but we don't see Satan behind that thing because that thing is so horrible all the time. No, not necessarily, but because he knows it will interfere with what God's trying to do with His salvation in our life. Therefore, He tries to push things in between us and our consecration to the Lord. It's why we have to not just be trying to follow the black and white or follow and make sure, well, justify. Well, okay, well, I feel a little nervous about this thing. Some things about it, but there's nothing that says I can't do this. Because it's not about do's and don'ts only. There are do's and don'ts. But it's about following the will of God in our life, because that what leads us to a place where we can fulfill the do's and don'ts of the Scripture. If we allow something to come between us and our consecration to the Lord, then it's going to interfere with His holiness and His righteousness being manifested in our life, no matter how innocent that thing seems. You know, I fully believe there are people who have even come to a place in life, and Lord help us all, every one of us, those of us who are children and those of us who are adults, to think about this in our life. People who've come and to a place in their life and they've lived for something, and then some people close to them begin to live differently, and that begins to disturb their consecration to God. I want to see everybody consecrated to God, but I don't want to give up my consecration because someone else isn't. Not because I'm some perfect individual, but because I'm not. Because I need the Lord in every way in my life to deliver me. I don't want a thing to come between to put me where He's not able to work in my life. Lord, help me to be willing to consecrate no matter what happens around me in life. All right? And so it says here, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But Lord, just one thing, there's nothing really against it. There's nothing. I don't see where you say, don't go do this. Pray real hard. Pray real hard. That sounds a lot like, Lord, I'm trying to save my life. I'm trying to save something I want to just try to keep here. I want to keep my hands on something. I don't want to be just wholly on your altar, ready to allow you to do whatever you want to do in my life. I want to be able to say, no, I think this thing's okay. Why? Why? You know, and I say that to myself as much as anybody. Why? Why, Brandon? Why would you want to do that? The Lord has all the blessings that you need in life, and He has life eternal. Why would you allow something? Why would you hold on to anything? Amen. He that would save his life shall lose it. Yes. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. This lose my life is simply saying, whoever will truly consecrate themselves to the Lord, make themselves, then declare themselves sacred, set apart, dedicated, and devoted to the service of God. Lord, what is it you want in my life? That's what I'm living for. You can have all these other things. Take them, Lord. Take them. Do whatever you want to with them, Lord. What I want is you. Lord, help us. Help me to live that way, to live in consecration to the Lord. It says, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? All right. 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. and the 19th verse. Now, there's a subject that Paul's dealing with, and the subject can stand on its own, and what we're going to read can stand on its own. So we're taking this as something separate here, but it applies to what we're talking about this morning. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? Well, my body is mine to do with what I want to, really? Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. If I have allowed the Holy Ghost to take up residence in me. And this is what sometimes I think people struggle with, getting the Holy Ghost, for just not seeing the simple thing here. If you want to be saved, you need to be sorry for what you've done and want to live a life different. If you want to be sanctified, you need to be ready to be consecrated to the Lord for whatever He wants in life. For not just the black and white do's and don'ts. That's not consecration. If you want to be consecrated, if you want the Lord dwelling in you, and this is your purpose in life, this is what God created you for. It's what He created me for. Anything else is failure. Anything else is short of what He has for us. Anything else will interfere with God's salvation, with our eternal salvation in our life. All right? If I want Him to be free, then I have to say, Lord, now I'm looking to do whatever you want me to do in life. I'm looking for you to have your way. That's where we open the door to the Lord to dwell in us through sanctification, when we are truly consecrated to the Lord and allow Him to live in our life. You know what? If I am falling short of the Holy Spirit working in my life, the only thing that interferes with that is my willingness to consecrate myself to the Lord. Now, that touches a lot of things. And you say, well, it touches all of those things. But the core issue is, am I willing to be consecrated for the will of God in my life? That is how I receive the Holy Spirit, and that's how He continues to work in my life day by day. All right? So it says, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You are the body and the spirit. The Lord didn't come to buy you with a price to get a part of you. He came to buy you with a price to get everything that you are. And He's not offering the price that He paid to get a part of you. That's not what the Lord's looking for today. He paid the price He paid to get everything that you are, for you to be willing to consecrate yourself to Him fully in every way and allow Him to work His will in your life, to build His temple, to make you what He desires you to be. All right? So you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Matthew 13. Matthew 13, and we'll start with the 18th verse. I'm going to read the parable of the sower, and this is the part where He explains it to them. Because this morning, I want us to get a hold of the explanation. The parable of the sower is a parable of our hearts. And the ground that we see is the ground we choose to have in our life. We're not committed to a certain kind of ground. You're not this morning. Whether you're good ground, thorny ground, rocky ground, or you didn't even pay attention, you're the wayside. You're not committed to it. It's your choice day by day what yes. kind of ground you're going to have in your That's life true. To the Word of God. And so it says, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the Word of God and understandeth it not, and what it means by this, it's not like I can't get a hold of what you're saying, God. It means he didn't recognize it as the Word of God. As it says over in Romans, and I can't quite get how it says it. I shouldn't have said that there. But it talks about how when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. All right, this is not recognizing it, refusing to recognize the Word and the value of it in your life. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which is sown in his heart. And this is he which receiveth the seed by the wayside. But he that receiveth the seed in stony places is the same that heareth the word and anointed with joy receiveth it, yet he hath no root in himself. Why? Because he hasn't dug down and got those rocks out of the way. There's a lack of consecration here. It sounded great. Oh, that's great. Well, we don't really want to get those things out of here. You know, there's things in the heart that need to be gotten out. The Lord says, give me those things. Let me have them. Let me help you lift those stones out of your life. No, Lord, I don't want you to. Well, that's a heart that's not consecrated, and this is what's going to happen. All right? Yet he hath no root in himself, but dureth for a while, and when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. All right? So the one that's not willing to release. But then he said, he also that received the seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke out the word and he becometh unfruitful. Someone who received it, again, this thing, and the Lord saying, look, that's going to interfere with my word in your life. That's not matching up with who I am. Are you willing to consecrate yourself and say, Lord, you can have those things, those external things that are looking to choke out your word in my life. I'm willing to keep my heart with all diligence. We'll read that verse in a minute. But I'm willing to keep my heart with all diligence. Lord, take those things. They're yours. Consecration is about what's in here. And it's about what's trying from out here to choke it out. Am I willing to push those things away in my life? All right? And so it says he wasn't. And it choked out the word and he became unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, recognizes it as the word of God, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some hundredfold, some 60, some 30. You know, we're all going to be different things God does through us, but one thing's for sure, he will make us fruitful if we're willing to consecrate. Push all the other things aside, the stones out, the thorns away, and let the Lord just do what he's wanting to do in our life. Then we will be fruitful in him. You think about it like this. You think about if you're a waiter and reserving a table for Jesus. And it's in a restaurant, and you know what? All the other tables have been cleared away. And you've got this one table in this restaurant, and you are reserving it for Jesus. And somebody comes in, and they try to put another table beside it. What do you do? Sure, let's look, you know, let's just put that here. And this, well, we can make a little more room for some things in our life. Or are you going to reserve that room for Jesus, that place for Jesus, that restaurant for Jesus? And what if somebody comes and tries to actually sit at his table? What are you going to do? You say, well, you know, I don't want to seem rude. I don't want to. Okay. You know, we have a job to reserve this table for Christ. And it's not about being rude or being weird or being anything. It's about simply reserving this table for Christ in my life. I may say, well, why do you think you got to do that? Well, you know, quite honestly, I don't even really know all the time. I just know that I don't want anything but Christ in the center of my heart. I want him to have it completely because I don't believe anything else is going to work except to allow him that space in my life. So I'm consecrating this heart to Christ. And I'm not going to allow other things to sit in here. When I recognize that something has come and sat down in there, then I'm going to say, I'm sorry, but you have to leave. You have to leave because I can't have you and have Christ in here. And whatever I might think about you, Christ is more important in my life and his will and his way. So Proverbs 4, the fourth chapter. And I really had a hard time not just reading this whole chapter, because it's almost like God's just talking to us. It says things like, for I give you good doctrine, forsake not my law. Get wisdom, forsake her not, exalt her. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. Take fast hold of instruction, let her not go. And this whole way is like God talking to us, look, if you'll just consecrate your heart to me, I'm doing everything necessary to help you in life. You will be victorious. You can rest in that. Read this whole chapter and realize God is talking to us to say, look, I'm doing everything necessary. You're not going to miss out. Amen. There are joys beyond compare that God wants to give us in our life that mean more than anything we could hold on to. You're not going to miss anything. I've got it all right here. He goes on down in 20th verse. He says, my son, attend to my words. And sisters, don't let my son shut your ears. He's talking to all of us this morning. All right, his children. My son, attend to my words. Incline thy ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Don't let it be swept up. Don't let it be choked out. Get the stones out of the way so it can grow in your life. All right? For they are life unto all that find them. But I'm doing this, but you're dead. That's death in those things. These are life that you might have it eternally. For they are life unto those that find them, health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We don't consecrate by just seeing an issue and saying, okay, Lord, here, have this. We consecrate it by putting everything you are. When you talk about our heart and we put that on the altar, the Lord's talking about putting everything you are on the altar for him. And out of that, it'll take care of all those issues that you face in life. You pray for me.